We continue our study in Mark 6, verses 17 through 20. When Herod heard about the ministry of Jesus Christ and about all the miracles he had performed, Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. We need to consider the background for Herod's belief that John had somehow come back from the dead. Verses 17 through 29 of Mark 6, former parenthetical passage. We're transported back in time to the events surrounding the death of John the Baptist. Mark allows us to see Herod's flashback regarding the death of John the Baptist. These verses reveal a soul that is in conflict. Herod is fighting a battle. He's confused and conflicted, and that is clearly revealed in these verses. Look at Mark 6, verses 17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her, because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." We're told that Herod arrested John for preaching against Herod's sins. If things haven't been confusing enough already, we're going to take a moment to consider Herod's family tree. A better name would be for this message is a ball of confusion. This man's life is a ball of confusion. Let's look a little bit at his family tree. Herod Antipas is the son of Herod the Great. Among his half-brothers are Aristobulus, who was killed by his own father, and Herod Philip. Herod the Great had at least five wives and had sons and daughters by them all. Herod Antipas, the man in our text, married the daughter of Aretas I, an Arabian king. Herod Philip married Herodias, the woman in our text, who was the daughter of his half-brother Aristobulus. She was his half-niece. They had a daughter named Salome, the girl who danced for Herod Antipas, her double half-uncle and stepfather. A lot of confusion in this family. Herod Philip was disinherited by his father Herod the Great. He and Herodias had moved to Rome. Herod Antipas and his wife visited his brother in Rome, and Herod Antipas fell in love with his half-niece and sister-in-law Herodias. They had an affair, and both left their spouses and married one another. Are you confused yet? I know I am with all those Herods and Herodiases. It was this arrangement that John repeatedly condemned. Notice in verse 18 of Mark 6, because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." He had suggested repeated times. He repeats it over and over. Every time Herod was around, John preached against incense and adultery from the law of God. Herod was upset by this preaching, and it seems that Herodias was even more upset, as we see in verse 17. So Herod had thrown John into prison. Let me say this. This is not a response to biblical preaching. This is not a proper response to biblical preaching. Notice, it had said, because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." When a preacher takes the Bible and preaches the truth from it, there will be times when it gets a little too close to where you're living, your life, the sins that you are involved in. And when that happens, and it happens to every one of us, unless your conscience is absolutely dead and the Holy Spirit is not moving at all. When the preacher says it is not lawful for you, and you fill in the blank, whatever it was, you can't have your brother's wife. But when the preacher preaches from the scripture and touches your sin, first of all, you can ignore the message. You can ignore the message, and that is dangerous, because that can lead to a dead conscience. It can lead to a dead conscience. You hear the word over and over and over and over, week after week and year after year, and you just keep ignoring the message. And the scripture says that they had a conscience as being seared with a hot iron. So first, when you hear something preached from the scripture that you don't like, you can ignore the message. Secondly, which is very common, you can attack the preacher. You can attack the preacher. And that's an easy thing to do, since the preacher is a sinner, like all of us, myself included, being a preacher. You can attack the preacher. As I said, the first thing, you can ignore the message. The second thing, you can attack the preacher. And that's dangerous, because God will judge you for that response. Besides that, if the preaching is preaching the truth, he is really just delivering the mail. If you have an issue, you should take it up with the Lord. The question isn't, do you like the preacher? What he wore? What volume he spoke as? And was he speaking softly? Was he charismatic? Did he have the right clothes on? The question is, the word that the preacher brought forth, you must simply ask, as the old preacher said, but is it the truth? Is it the truth? So first of all, your response to biblical preaching. You can ignore the message, or you can attack the preacher. Or thirdly, you can bring the need to the Lord. You can let him work in your life to bring you to a place of repentance and blessing. And let me say, that is the wisest thing that you can do. That is wisdom. That is knowledge put into action, which is wisdom. You hear of your sin, and you repent of your sin, and you do what 1 John 1:9 tells us to do. That if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, if we confess, repent of our sins, forsake our sins. See, a lot of people say, oh, well, if we confess our sins and leave it at that. But confession means much more than simply saying, oh, yeah, I did that. The criminal can finally fess up before the judge and say, oh, yes, I committed that crime, with no intention of leaving his life a crime. When you confess your sins, you have in mind repentance and forsaking those sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's the gospel right there. Forgiving us our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. That was the reason that Christ came, that he would save his people from their sins. Not that he would save his people to live in their sins. But Matthew 1, verse 21 says to us, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So when you hear the word preached, you can ignore the message, you can attack the preacher, or you can bring your need to the Lord, your need of confession, repentance, and cleansing. Let me say this. We are swiftly approaching an hour when preachers in this country, and not only this country, but throughout the world, will be persecuted for the message that we preach. And we're persecuted to this day, at this very hour. Preachers will be imprisoned if they preach against homosexuality and lesbianism. Even the gospel itself today is called hate speech by those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And the days are coming when those who dare to stand for the truth are going to face even greater hardship and persecution, just as John the Baptist did. When you point out people's sin, when you tell them the Bible says that that is sin, then you will suffer persecution to a greater or lesser extent. Verse 19, back to Mark 6. Talk about a man that was confused, even as his genealogy was confusing that I mentioned earlier. Herod's whole life is a ball of confusion. Back to Mark 6, verse 19. "Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but he could not." Now you talk about a girl that didn't like the message. "Wanted to kill him. But yet Herod helps John. When Herod disliked the message John preached, Herod yet protected John from the murderous ambitions of Herodias. She refused to forgive John for what he preached, and she held hatred in her heart for the man of God. Herod's confusion is clear to see. He hated the fact that John was telling the truth about his sins, but still, he wanted to keep John around. This love-hate relationship. Look in verse 20. Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things. He did many things and heard him gladly. He heard him, and yet he heard him gladly, and he did many things, yet he wouldn't repent of his sin. Herod's confusion is clear to see. He hates the fact John's telling the truth, but yet he's gladly hearing him. This same love-hate relationship exists in our world between the preacher and some of those that he preaches to today. People hate him when you expose their sin. They hate it when you expose their sin, yet they do not hesitate to call him when they need something. Love, hate. You hate it when your sin is exposed, but then you keep on coming back and listening to the word. People hear, and yet they don't repent. Verse 20, it says clearly that Herod heard John. He heard John. He feared John, and knew it depended on what translation he got in verse 20. This is an amazing verse in this section. Herod did not like the fact John exposes him sin, but yet he still wants him around. Herod had a reverential fear of the Baptist because he knew that John was a genuine man of God. It says he knew. He knew that he was holy and a righteous man. And Herod feared him, or some texts say observed John. That is, he kept John the Baptist safe and under constant guard. He didn't want John to expose the sins. But he didn't want anything bad to happen to John either. When heaven heard John preach, notice, he did many things. And when he heard him, he did many things. Originally, that means he was very perplexed. He did many things, except the one thing he needed to do was to repent of his sin. As I mentioned in our last message, about a dead conscience, about a hardened conscience, a seared conscience. This man is becoming harder and harder, more confused. The more that you deny sin, the more that you refuse to repent of sin, the more confused that you become. Herod's perplexed. That is what he heard caused him great conflict of soul. He heard the truth and recognized the truth. Let me ask you this question simply. Do you have a great conflict of soul today? Do you have a great conflict of soul today? You heard the truth and you recognize it as the truth, but you simply refuse to repent of your sin. Is that what's causing the conflict in your life? Is that why you're so troubled? The Holy Spirit just keeps on bringing it up, bringing it up, bringing that sin up, bringing that sin up, bringing it up, bringing it up, telling you to repent, 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 repent. You better repent now, because the longer that you put it off, the harder it becomes to repent. You become more callous to the things of God. Your conscience becomes seared. You know what to do. You're hearing the truth. And you're making every excuse in the world. Herod did some of the things John told him to do. He may have reformed his life to a certain point, but not to the point of giving up Herodias. See, that was his favorite sin. See, many of us will leave this sin, that sin, this sin, that sin. But all of us have a favorite sin. A favorite sin. Just like you have a favorite color, a favorite food, a favorite vacation place. You have a favorite sin. We all do. And that's the thing that we don't want to leave. That's the thing we struggle with the most. And we can't be like Herod. On one hand, you know the words, you know what the truth is. You know what the preacher's saying is true. You want to hear. You want to do all these things. But the thing you keep doing is refusing to repent. You refuse to repent. The truth that John was preaching touched Herod's heart, and he tried to dull the pain of conviction by doing some good things. Many of us try to do that. Well, Lord, I'll do this. Well, Lord, I'll do that. But Lord, I'll do this, and yet we still want to hold on to that sin. The most amazing part of this verse is that Herod heard him gladly. The idea is that Herod enjoyed hearing John preach the word of God. He didn't intend to change his whole life and surrender all to the Lord, but he liked to preach and he loved to hear him preach. You talk about a man that is confused. And there's people that sit in the church today. They're the same way. You know what the preacher's going to say. And you want to hear it. It's almost a sense of whip me, hit me a little harder. It's almost this is a way of my repentance by hearing it, but never repenting. I'm going to go and hear it, but I'm not going to forsake it. That's why I mentioned earlier about it's much more than confessing your sin. It's repenting of your sin and forsaking your sin. Many people confess their sin. Just like Herod confessed his sin, but he didn't forsake his sin. He wouldn't leave. He wouldn't leave Herodias. As I said, there's many people like Herod today They get caught up in the preaching and the personality of a man, and they miss the whole point of the message. They like to hear their favorite preacher preach, but they have no intentions of doing anything the Bible is telling them to do. And that is a dangerous way to live your life. You must come to church and listen to the Word of God with the intention of, if that's the truth, then I'm going to apply that truth to my life. Be it good or bad. Be it an imperative or an indicative. An indicative is this is what you are, and an imperative is this is what you must do. You must come to church with that attitude. Not, well, I'm going to ignore it, or I'm going to point out what I find to be wrong with the preacher. No, the question is this the truth? What you're hearing today, is this the truth? All right, you heard the truth. I said to you, just confession is not enough. Now, that's either true or it's not. Some people say simply confess your sin. Now, I'm saying to you, does the scripture say to simply confess your sin, or does the scripture say to confess your sin and also to forsake your sin? Or it's really not confession at all. Not just confession of sin, but forsaking that sin. I struggled with many sins throughout my lifetime. And at first I'd hear the truth, I'd hear it proclaimed, and yes, I would confess it. Yes, Lord, I am guilty of that. But I just can't leave it. I just can't leave it. And you start making all excuses. Where the scripture says, no, you're dead to sin. And now simply by faith you apply that. You're dead to sin. That's not an excuse. You can't leave. You can't stop. You can't forsake. Yes, you can, because the Bible says that you can. Not only that you can, but that you have. You are dead to sin. Now, count that to be as true. Now, is that true or is it not true? Or are you going to try to still make an excuse to hold on to your sins? What is it going to be? When God speaks to your heart, He's extending grace to you that you don't deserve. He doesn't have to say anything to you. But yet, in His grace and His mercy, He does. He's showing you that He cares about you, that He loves you, that He has your best in mind. When He points out your sins from the Word of God, He does so because He loves you and He wants you to change. Don't be like Herod and play around with the things of the God. Let me just put a point blank to you. Do you think that you can play around with God? Do you really believe that? Even Herod, as wicked as he was, it says he feared God. I mean, he feared John. And why did he fear him? Knowing that he was a just and a holy man. So if he thought that about John, that he was a just and a holy man, what do you think he thought about God? But he thought he could play around. Don't play around with the things of God, brothers and sisters, or you who is not a child of God. Jesus Christ warned of that. Beware of him that can cast your body and your soul into hell. Herod kept John and treated him like he was like a pet parrot. He treated the Word of God like he could do as he pleased with it. And nothing sears the conscience any quicker than saying no to the Word of God. If the Lord has been speaking to you about any area of your life, you need to heed his voice and to obey his word without delay. To do otherwise is deadly. The good news is that if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the reason that he came, to save the people from their sins. But will you be as Herod? A ball of confusion, a man of confusion. But so often we're not confused at all. We understand exactly what the Lord is telling us. But we just keep on insisting having things our own way. And Father, we pray that your will be done in our lives. And we thank you that we can call you Father. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, and not only convicts us of sin, but comforts us after we confess and forsake our sins. He comforts us and lets us know that we are forgiven of our sins. And that's the good news of Jesus Christ. Unto you, a Savior is born today in the town of Bethlehem. And you shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins.